Well, good morning, 11 a.m. service. We're so glad that you're here celebrating today our five-year anniversary, 5 years as a church. It's been wild. It's been amazing. I'm sorry about the creep at the end there. We keep trying to get him out of here, but he just keeps coming back. No, we love Danny. He plays the keys and leads in other capacities as well, so we're thankful for him. But it's been cool. It's been cool to look back and, you know, see all that God has done and see all of the people that God has brought in for a season and then sent out, and just a lot of great memories. One of the things with that video, what we tried to do is grab someone from each year as a church, so from like year one, year two, year three, year four, year five, and kind of just, there's this recurring theme from year one to year, you know, this year, and it's that this is a community, this is a family. We've got each other's backs, and it's something that is so important to us and has been a part of who we wanted to be as a church from day one, and we're so thankful that's what we have. That's what I get to be a part of, and you get to be a part of, and we get to have each other come alongside each other in our faith walk, but also as we go through hard times and also as we celebrate the good times. And so it's been awesome. It's been really, really awesome. And I'm gonna share today about some of that. But just as I was thinking back, you know, to, you know, 5 years ago and back to when we launched the church. If you don't know, like, we set out, we had to find a place to meet, and you do all these meetings and you try to connect with these people, and we had about 13 people come with us, you know, kind of leave their community and come with us to help. And it's a very interesting transition and change, and you're doing all these meetings and trying to connect with all these people, all in an effort to, you know, get people to gather together to worship God, and it's tough. And so I remember we went through about it's like 8 to 12 months of preparation, getting things ready, moving into the area, building the core team, and just all the administrative stuff. And we were working towards a date, which was September 10th of 2017, and that didn't happen. Irma came through and said no, and so we didn't meet that day. But you know, on October 15th we launched, and I remember I just vividly remember the night before, you know, just thinking about, you know, all the work that we've done, all the things that we've planned, and all the things that God has orchestrated, and I just, sleepless night for me. And I remember just kind of going outside. It was a somewhat of a nice night, and I went and just walked around this little pond that we had, and I just prayed, and I remember being up till like 2 a.m., just praying. Just asking God, you know, and just questioning things. And, you know, we did all this work and just saying, God, you know, bless what we've done, bless our work, bring the people. And that was one of the questions, you know, I was asking, is anyone going to show up to this thing? Like, we've been working, so is anyone going to show up, you know, on the tail end of a hurricane? Like, we had all this, you know, set out and we're going to go. And we, like, every piece of information that we'd put out about our church was we were launching on 9/10/17. And then it didn't happen. And it was just like, well, I don't know how they're going to know now, but they're going to know. And so that was the big one. I remember praying over that and asking God to remove that, just that doubt and that, you know, that lack of confidence. And then we showed up at the church because we did set up at Chain of Lakes Complex. And we showed up at like 6 a.m. to, you know, unload a van and a trailer and carry stuff upstairs for the kids' ministry. And I remember, like, right before church happened, asking myself the same question, man, is anybody going to show up today? And, you know, God was good. And the answer to that question, did anyone show up? Yes, people showed up. It was an amazing day, just celebrating all the work and what God had done. 7 people gave their life to Jesus that day, and just powerful. And the real truth of the matter is that God hasn't stopped showing up. And God hasn't stopped drawing people to Kairos, and you all are a testament to that. And there are many other people who have come and gone that were a testament to being drawn here and being sent out. And we're just thankful that God shows up, that God answers the prayers. But I never stopped praying. Never stopped praying that God would, you know, bless what we are doing. I never stopped praying for guidance and what we're doing and where we're going and providence and blessing and wisdom. And we've kind of, you know, as one of our core values is that prayer is going to lead us. That's how we led into this thing. And we've never stopped praying. But at the same time, we've praised him the whole way through. And we've just thanked him for all that he has done in our church, in our lives, and for other people. One of the other things that, I don't know if it's just a humbling thing for me, and I'm thankful that God uses it to humble me, but As I stand here, not every week, but oftentimes, or as I lead, you know, staff meetings or even lead in brotherhood, I begin to wonder about just my calling into this and not feeling like I'm equipped, feeling very much like Moses, you know, when God came to Moses and he's like, Moses, I want you to go talk to Pharaoh. And he's like, nah, I don't talk well. I'm not your guy, right? I feel like that. Or like, you know, when he calls some of the disciples and these are, you know, fishermen and tax collectors. And these guys weren't equipped to do what Jesus called them to do. And, you know, there are many reservations and just doubts. And even with Paul. Now, Paul had the education, but his past was something that he held against himself. And so there are many, many times where I think to myself, man, how am I standing here? How am I the pastor of this church? Because if you don't know, man, like I was a tech nerd. Like I love video games and computers. Like that's my background, is technology. And I you know, even through all of this, I never really felt qualified. I never really felt educated enough to lead and to shepherd. But here's a praise. Thank God that he thinks so much more of us than we think of ourselves, right? And the things he calls us to. This is the reality. Like you and I, when God calls us to something, it's not that you and I need to be qualified, that we need to be equipped. It's just that we got to put our faith and trust in the one who is. And that's him. And that's what he's done. And so anyway, that's just me kind of sharing kind of some of the thoughts that have been going on. But it's led me to praising God. Praising God for the calling on my life. Praising God for the church that he has established. Praising God for the family, the church family that we've gained over the years. And really just praising God for all the amazing moments that we've experienced along the way. Last week, as we kicked off our All In series, I shared some of our core values with you. And every time I kind of begin to think about who we are and what's been taking place, I go back to these core values that we set up before we even launched. And, you know, we said that, you know, prayer is going to lead us and scripture is going to guide us and we're going to engage the not yet and equip one another. We're going to plant the future. We're going to champion the church. We're going to love the fatherless. And so these are some of our core values. And these core values have really helped us stay laser focused on the things that we do and how we do them, and is a testament to the family that we have today. But one of the things that I realized is that through all of this, there are two things that we talk about every week that are so important. We encourage you to do every week, and that's prayer and praise, our prayer and praise cards. And so I was looking, and I'm like, you know, prayer is one of our core values, but praise wasn't on there. And it's not that we weren't praising God, but it was just interesting to see that, like, that was a core value that needed to be put down on writing, and that is something that we don't need to forever forget, is that praise is so important. And so, for the first time since we launched this church, I am adding a core value to Kairos Church, and that is simply this, that praise reminds us. Praise reminds us. Praise reminds us. This is what I wrote. We will praise God for all he's done and look forward to all that he has yet to do. We will never stop shouting and sharing about all that God is doing in our lives and in our church. And so it's this praise. We give him praise to remind us of who he is. Of what he's done, and really that he's not done yet. And that's a wonderful promise. And this is something you see kind of in throughout the Bible. And one of the things that I love about the Bible is all throughout Old Testament, New Testament, you will continually see Israel's story kind of recounted. They'll talk about the Israelites and what they went through and how they rebelled and how they were disobedient and how God showed up and how God loved them time and time and time and time again. And it's something that I believe is so important, even in our own lives, that we should always look back, really, to what we call our testimony, our witness, who we were before God, who we were after God, and all the ups and downs in between about how God saved us and rescued us, how we rebelled against him, and how he, you know, drew us back in. And we should always be recounting our story so that we can praise God in the midst of all of it, the good and the bad, into drawing us back in. And so that's what the Israelites did, and so that's what I wanted to do today. I wanted to kind of take a few moments to kind of talk through Kairos and what we've been through. A lot of you maybe haven't been here since the beginning, and maybe you've only been here for a year, or maybe it's only been 2 weeks, and so you don't know the story. You don't know what we've been through that led us to who we are today and what God has for us today. So I wanted to share with you for the first time, or if you have been with us, remind you of all the goodness, that has taken place, and even for my family as well. And so like the first thing, you know, going back when I first got the calling to plant a church, I was working in a church ministry that I had been a part of for 9 years. Loved that church. It was in my hometown. I, you know, came on as the media director and then the youth pastor, and just got to see God do some amazing things in our tiny little podunk town of Zephyr Hills, Florida. I talked a little bit about Zephyr Hills last week, and I mean, that was it. And so I just got to see God work and move in ways I've never seen before. And so, you know, we had this church family that we had done life together with for 9 years. On top of that, we had our family that was there, our extended family that was also there in that town. And when God called us, that was one of the really hard things to do, was to leave this family that we knew and uproot ourselves and go really to a place that we weren't familiar with, that we knew no one in. And, you know, people ask me all the time, why did you plant in Winter Haven? I said, I don't know. The only thing I knew about Winter Haven was Legoland, right? And I'm a little bit cross with Legoland because me and my family showed up one day to go swimming, but the swimming section of it's seasonal. Did you know that? Well, anyway, I don't go back to Legoland anymore because we drove all the way out here and we're very disappointed, right? Anyway, seasonal swimming in Florida. Listen, that's just dumb, right? Anyway, I need to like reach out to somebody about that. God led us here, and he drew us here, and we actually, you know, God led us to our home in Auburndale, and like just how God orchestrated all of that, and when we moved there, in there, and it was just cool, but at the same time, hard. I showed a picture to my wife yesterday. I didn't even realize this, that the day that we moved into our house was a year to the date that we actually launched our church. Not the initial launch date, but so it was really cool, just those little cool things, like just God showing how he was working and all those things. And so we love our home in Auburndale, but it was hard. It was hard leaving family and leaving friends and starting fresh and new and trying to meet new people. And so that was one way in which God showed up, and through it, he did send us with some people. Man, the initial launch team and the Gladuras and Brinkley and Cody Roberts and the Varneys. And I got a guy who did tech for me named Wilson Fonseca and Tyler and Sammy Batts and even Steph and Josh's parents, the Ambroses, like my mom, like people that were there and supporting us when we felt like we were alone and on an island. And it was hard, but God was through it. And then as we enter into, so we moved out here, and then the next big step in the phase of church planting is where? Where are you going to do this thing? Now, of course, we had our initial meetings in my living room, in my house, and that's great, but we knew that our goal was to gather more people, and so if we're going to gather more people, we need more space, and so I started looking, and we're over in Auburndale, and I'm like, okay, this is where God called us to plant, and so I'm calling schools, and I'm calling community centers, and I'm just trying to find any empty building that I can get in for really, really cheap, right? Like, that's the key. Not a lot of money. I need, the space, but in Auburndale, it was just closed door after closed door after closed door after closed door. And not in a bad way. They weren't looking to partner with us. And, you know, during that time, you're like, well, God, I felt you specifically call us here. And why are these doors? But you begin to go through this doubt. And, you know, you begin to, like, wonder, how did God leave me here? Am I doing? And you have all these questions. But eventually, you know, he just led us further and further out. And we landed on two potential spots. It was the Cobb. Was it the Cobb Theaters? Was it Cobb? It's not Cobb Theaters anymore, but the theaters in Winter Haven was one option. And then another place that we reached out to, which was a little bit farther out than we were thinking, was the Chain of Lakes Complex, which is now the Advent Fieldhouse. And when I initially reached out to them, they just said, no, there's some other things going on. We don't think it's going to work. And I was like, dang, because I really loved where it was, right across from a Starbucks, so I could get coffee whenever I needed it. And yeah, that was really it. I was like, oh, this is God's providence, look. and so they said no, and I said, all right, well, I got the Cobb as a backup. Now, the Cobb was hard, because really we had a very, very short time. So we had to go in. We would have had to set up all of our kids' rooms, utilizing the front area of a movie theater for the kids to hang out in, set that up, and then set up another theater for our sanctuary. And they're like, all right, you can come in at 8 and you have to be out by 12. And I'm like, that's really hard to do. And so I was struggling with it. I was like, but this is an open door. So I'm gonna see what we can do. Maybe as we talk a little bit more, as we get into this thing, they'll open it up and it'll be great. Well, anyway, we're gonna have a core team meeting at the Cobb Theater one night. And like there was this big thing, and we're like, hey, come join us. We're gonna, you know, pray over this space and what God's gonna do. And that morning I decided to reach back out to the Chain of Lakes complex. I just said, hey, listen, is there any way that we could meet here? And I laid it on real thick, you know, and I was like crying, and no, I really wasn't. But really, I was just like, we want to partner with you, and here's some things that we're gonna do. And so I sent out that communication like first thing in the morning. Around 3 o'clock, I got communication back, and they said, you know what, let's do it. And I was like, all right, well, I can't like send out this mass communication telling everyone that we're changing location. So we literally met in the Cobb Theater parking lot, and as people got out of that car, I said, get back in your car. We're not meeting here. We're going over here. I got a new facility. And so it was just this crazy thing, and we went, and we scoped out the Chain of Lakes complex, and we talked about all the things we could do, and it led to some really cool meetings, and that was where we initially launched. But it was God orchestrating all of it, and me just kind of listening to the prompting of his spirit, because that morning I was like, I just was unsettled. And God's like, I think you need to go here. I think you need to try that one more time. It was just like, now's the day to ask. Ask right now. Because when you ask today, not tomorrow, not yesterday, ask right now, and everything will line up the way that I want it to line up, and you'll get your yes. And so it's just being very, very obedient to that. And so we ended up launching in that that facility. Of course, I said, you know, our launch was postponed by 1 month, but that's all right. You know, you think about it, and I say this all the time, like, if our launch date was September 10th, and we have all these pamphlets and flyers and invite cards that all say that, and then God sends a hurricane, it's almost like take a hit, buddy, like, you're not supposed to do this, right? Like, just, church planting is not for you, and walk on, right? And these are these things running through my mind, but really, it was a beautiful thing that got to take place. Not that Irma happened, but that in that month span of time, we got to, you know, outreach to the community, help people clean up their yards, help people, you know, cut stuff and fix fences. And it was an amazing opportunity for us to get into the community and to love on them and to care for them. And that led us to our launch day. And so we launched on October 15th of 2017. And guess what? People showed up. We had 200 people in attendance, and it was just a beautiful day of just connecting and seeing all our fruitfulness. But it took a lot to get there. And then from that time, there's been a lot of ups and downs. There have been staff changes that have taken place, some kind of out of the blue, some that I knew of. And I talked about it in the last service about my Christmas trauma. Every Christmas I have trauma because I've had two of my worship leaders tell me they were leaving right before Christmas. So like Christmas rolls around and I'm just like, all right, is Robbie gonna leave? Is he gonna send me the message? Is he gonna call me over for a meeting? And it's funny because like I told him, I go, listen, man, if you ever like are done, I get it. Just don't do it around Christmas time. Maybe any other time. It's, you know, God, not Christmas. So I have, you know, there's staff changes, and you know, that's fine. And we've had other staff changes as well. And what's really cool is just seeing how God orchestrated all of that. And so anyone here remember Sammy and Tyler Batts? Okay. All right. Yeah. So we got a few more. And so it's like my family and then a few that came in the very, very beginning. Well, they were with us. They helped us kind of do some really big community events. And then they launched with us and were with us almost through Christmas. And then right before Christmas, they were called out to do something else. And it wasn't a bad situation. God had something else for them. And in that time, I'm like sending out job applications. I've never done this before. And I'm like reaching out to people that I didn't know. And I'm just like putting this out there. I'm like, how many whack job worship leaders am I going to get? Sorry, that's really mean. But I'm just like, I'm nervous about like, because I had this guy and he was great. And I'm just like, I thought this was it. And I'm, you know, questioning through that. And I ended up getting a beautiful, beautiful family. Anyone remember Johnny and Natalie Burkhalter? The Burkhalters, yes. Oh man, we were so blessed by them. And I had a few other applicants, but there was just something about their joy, about their passion, about how they worshiped and led and worshiped, and about just how much they loved for their team. And so we were blessed. We were blessed by the Burkhalters until the next Christmas. And they kicked me in the shins and said goodbye. But then God orchestrated some other things where someone in my congregation knew that there was a transition taking place. And they let me know about a young guy that went to Warner named Jesse Auker. Anyone remember Jesse Auker? Yeah. And so I met him and we were just chatting through things. And he straight out the gate, he said, listen, he's like, I can do this. But he's like, I only got 8 months. He's like, after 8 months, I'm going to school. And I said, all right, well, 8 months, That would be October. It's not anywhere near Christmas. We're fine. It'll be okay. And seriously, that's how I was processing it. But at the same time, I was like, man, I don't know that I want to bring a guy on. This will be my third worship leader, just to have him head off again. And so I'm battling with that and praying about that. And I'm like, God, this everything within me said, don't do this. But then God's like, do it. And I said, okay. And it was a blessing. Jesse was a blessing. And what was really cool is that God was working on something. You know, he always is, just orchestrating things. And so going farther back, this is one of my favorite stories of Kairos. There are many, but this is one of my favorite, just about how God orchestrated this. And so Jesse is setting up for 8 months. When we were doing our church planting and reaching out and getting funding, I went up to Connecticut to speak at a friend's church called Revelation Church. And my wife came up there with me, and it was the church that Robbie used to lead at. Okay, and so she got to lead with him, and she got to meet his wife, and they got to learn about how we're foster and adoptive parents. And so that was, few years ago. And so then we get into the year that, you know, Johnny stepped down, Jesse stepped in, and she gets a random message from Steph Hinckley, Robbie's wife, saying, hey, we're getting ready to move down to Florida. We're looking to become foster parents down there. Our extended family's down there. We're going to be close to you guys, and we just wanted to connect. And so she told me about that, and I was like, well, what's Robbie doing? Is Robbie coming too, or is he like, you know, what's going on here? Because I'm like, this guy, because you've heard Robbie, right? Like, he's phenomenal. And I was like, and so then she's like, I think he's coming. I'm like, all right, let me call Matt. Matt was the pastor. I said, Matt, what'd this guy do? He burned the building down. He, like, take money. Like, you know, I'm asking all these questions. Like, are they getting kicked out? Are they leaving? Is it good? And he's like, no, it's all good. I said, all right, you good with me? Just reaching out to him. And what was really cool is that, so Jesse gave me 8 months. And it just turned out that Robbie was going to come in at the tail end of that. And there's going to be this transition for about a month and a half time where there was a handoff. And it was amazing. Like, these are the things, like, you want it to happen this way and it never works out, but God orchestrated all of it. And that guy has been a blessing to this church ever since. Because I told him, curses upon you if you try to leave. But he has, and we're blessed by him every single Sunday when he leads and by his team. But there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that he does that I think many people don't realize. A lot of the graphics that you see, the videos, the video that we just showed, and then there's going to be one at the end of the service. Robbie, how much is he in here? Oh, well, anyway, I picked on him last week or last service, and he spent this video that's gonna he spent 12 hours on this video, and he told me he didn't get up but to go pee one time. He disregarded his family and his, all that stuff to make this video, and it's very, very powerful. But he does a phenomenal job, and we're thankful. But I share that because, like, that's one of those stories where, like, God has shown up time and time again. Where, you know, I get to a place where I'm like, okay, well, how are we going to figure this out? And God's like, I got it. I'm going to take care of it. And, you know, through our time, we've experienced some financial loss. When we set out to do this thing, our denomination gave us funding. The funding was kind of contingent upon hitting some metrics, and my funding was cut. And when you're a father of six and a church pastor and kind of depending on that, it's like just sweeping my legs right out from under my feet, and I remember just being super concerned and worried, but again, God showed up. And we didn't skip a beat, and the funding came back, and God was good. And then there's the different moves where we went from Channel Lakes Complex because they were getting ready to turn it into Advent Fieldhouse, and we went to Channel Lakes Elementary. Anybody went to Channel Lakes Elementary? Man, we loved Channel Lakes Elementary. It was such a great campus. We loved the staff there. One of the cool things about that campus is the 2-mile walk from the parking lot to the sanctuary. Yeah, see, anyone that they get it, right? Like, because there's a cafeteria that's like way off in the back of the area, and then there's the parking lot. And so what did we have? We had greeters, like 4 greeters out front, and then you walk down the sidewalk, and there's 3-4 greeters on that sidewalk, and then there's greeters going to kids ministry that's in another building. But man, felt the love, felt the encouragement, and then you got to eat donuts and coffee and kind of cool off after you walked for 2 miles, and you're like, man, is this... Anyway, but we loved it there, and we got to experience a lot of growth there, and we're thankful. But then, of course, in another change, another transition, and this is just the way of things. And we got to flow with them. Remember how God has shown up. Remember that he can do it again, and he did. And so what happens next? Like, we're like, man, okay, we went through Irma, and we launched, and we planted. We've gone through this move. We can take anything, and then it's like... COVID, right in your face. And you're like, oh my gosh. Like, no one has any metrics for this. No one knows how to do, like, no one's ever been through this. How do we process this? And we got to go online, and we're homeless, and we can't go back to the school, and we never knew when we were going to go back to the school, and what do we do? And we're trying to do videos. Man, what a wild time that was, just for all of us, but man, for a church and trying to continue to move forward with the mission and reach people, especially in the time that they needed most, it was crazy, right? But God led us here through that. And again, one of those crazy moments where God's just like, hey, reach out and ask that place. Because I called on this building multiple times. And every time they told me how much I wanted, I kind of chuckled and hung up. So I'm not even kidding. Like, I was like, that's hilarious. But I called them and I said, hey, listen, I know that, like, I've asked you guys, how would you feel about a week-to-week lease where I can just come in and set up some cameras, set up my drums? I just want to be able to record. No one's meeting in this space. I don't have any chairs. Can I do that? And they're like, sure. How much were you paying at the school? I'm like, this much. Like, we'll do it for that. I was like, oh, praise Jesus. And so we got to come in here and record. And you know, that got us through a few months of just being online and doing recordings. And when we started bringing people in and saying, come watch with us, and they would bring their folding chairs and sit in corners, and we'd have our mask on and be like, you stay over there. I don't know if you're gonna hit, you know. And it was wild. And then we did I had to borrow chairs from the school before we started meeting, and we had the cafeteria chairs we're sitting in here for the summer. And it was like, this is crazy. And then we you know, that we did the chair thing, and it was just awesome. And like through COVID, like even all that uncertainty and all that doubt, God led us to this place. And we have been able to do some amazing things here in this building with the coffee shop and the Echo shop in the back, and just the different ways we've been able to reach people here. And God knew it. He knew it all along. And he was just orchestrating it all along. The crazy thing, and again, you just talk about these ups and these downs and these ebbs and these flows and moments where you could easily forget to praise God through it, is when we had an 80% loss in attendance. 80%. When you go from over 300 people down to about 50, right? And in that moment, like, I'm going back to the, and a lot of churches felt this, where they were relaunching or restarting or replanting, but God has been fruitful and God has blessed us. And here we are today, like, we didn't even skip a beat, and I would say we're even more blessed because of it. It's like, it's if you stay obedient, if you stay in God's will, if you don't leave what he's got going on, he's going to double bless you, right? If you kind of act like Job when everything feels like everything is taken from you, and he's like, I'm not going to curse him. What am I, going to take the good and not the bad? No. I'm going to continue to love him and praise him and understand that his ways are better than my ways. What he's orchestrating is better than what I could ever orchestrate, and that's what we are experiencing. Anyway, I got to move on, but that's a little bit of just recounting our story and looking back to the goodness of God and being reminded that, you know, it took a lot to get here, but God was there every step of the way, and we want to praise him. We want to praise him through that. And so that's the encouragement, that we praise God through the storms. We praise God through transition. We praise God through loss. We praise God through sickness. And then we praise God also for the friends that we gain along the way, the family that we gain along the way, his financial provision, and also for really what we've got to experience are forever decisions that have taken place because we've been faithful and because we've been obedient. And so we want to remember to praise God for all that he's done. One of the things that I wanted to share was about the life change that has taken place here in the last 5 years. So in the last 5 years, we've had over 228 people give their life to Jesus Christ. Yeah. And that's just what we know. Like, if they fill it out and put it on a card, 228 people. That doesn't include any teenagers or kids, but 228 people, man, that are forever changed. Their eternal destination is forever changed because we were faithful, because we were obedient. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about us as a church. I've been faithful and been obedient through it. 228. 90, it says 95 there. It's 96 because we baptized someone in the first service. So 96 people. have been baptized, and there, you know, maybe more at the end of service, but we know that Movement is doing some baptisms. I believe they have, is it three or four? Three baptisms are taking place. Teens getting baptized on Wednesday night. So that's awesome. More praise. And then we talk about praises and prayers being important. And I went and I did like just a search on how many have actually been filled out. 3,427 prayers and praises have been filled out. And it's, yeah. And why is that life change? Because there were prayers that were prayed and prayers that were answered. There were prayers that were prayed, and there was someone that came along and encouraged you and supported you and came alongside you. There was, it's just a beautiful part of what we do every day, every week at our church. And so all of this, all that I talk about, it's all due to God, to his leading, to his guiding, to his directing, to his providing, to his rescuing, to his redeeming. It's all due to him. It's all by him. It's all through him. He's got us, and he always will. I want to read to you Psalm 105. We're going to do verses 1 through 5, and then we're going to jump into the next chapter. But it says this: give praise to the Lord and proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. And remember the wonders he has done. You know, all throughout Scripture, we are reminded to praise God for who he is, for what he's done, and that he's not done yet. And that's the reality. Praise reminds us of those things, of what he's already done for us, of who he is and who he always will be, and that he's not done yet. And then Scripture does the same. It reminds us to praise him. Now, if we're not careful, we can forget. We can forget to praise him. Life can get tough. Life can get hard. And as we stop forgetting to praise him, we forget about what he's already done, and we lose hope on what he can do in the future. And so when we stop praising and maybe start complaining, that's when we start forgetting God's goodness. And in Psalm 106, it kind of gives us this reminder to remember and praise. And this is the story of the Israelites. I told you that the Israelites, there's a constantly recounting everything so they don't forget. And Psalm 106 kind of plays the whole thing out. Verse 7, it says, our fathers in Egypt, they did not grasp the significance of your wonderful works or remember your many acts of faithful love. Instead, they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. And so, you know, it's just recounting, okay, we had, the Israelites were in Egypt, they were in slavery, they were in bondage. Moses came in, and through, you know, God's mighty hand, they were brought out of slavery and bondage and sent to the promised land. But they get to this point where the enemy is pursuing them. So they have the enemy at their back, and they have the Red Sea, and what do they begin to do? Even though God has just saved them and just done mighty miracles for them, they begin to complain and forget of who God is. So instead of praising him in this moment, they begin to complain and they forgot. But I love what it goes on to say. It says, yet he saved them. And this is who God is. God loves us and he wants what's best for us. And even in our disobedience, even in us, you know, forgetting what he's already done, he saved them. And why did he save them? Because of his name. To make his power known. And this is the truth. Why do we praise God? We praise God to bring him glory. We praise God so that others can know who our faith is in, who our hope is in, and so that they can grab a hold of it too. So he saved them. Verse 9, it says, he rebuked the Red Sea, and he dried it up, and he led them through the depths as through a desert. This is a God who makes the impassable passable, right? This is a God who makes the impossible possible. And so when you see a Red Sea that is keeping you from fleeing from your enemy, God's the one that can make a way through it. Always. He can make a way, but we got to trust in him. We got to trust in his plan. We got to trust that in the way that he does it, it may not be the way that we were expecting. Do you think anyone standing on that shore that day was expecting God to part the Red Sea? No. And this is how God works. He works in unknown ways. And as we see the obstacles in front of us, as we deal with the giants in front of us, we got to say to God, God, do what you can do and do how you want to do it. Not what I think, not by my might, not by my strength, not by my wisdom, but God, take care of this obstacle the way that you want and let me be obedient to the ways that you're calling me to follow you. And those are hard sometimes. But he saved them and he rebuked the sea and he leads them through as though through a desert. And then verse 10, it says, he saved them from the hand of the adversary, and he redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And as I read this, I found it very interesting that he called out two different enemies, right? Because he saved us from the adversary. And this word is sene, And it means that this someone that was, they hated you, they loathed you, you were unloved by them, they wanted the very worst for you. And as I read that, I instantly thought about our enemy, our adversary, our spiritual enemy. Satan hates us. He hates you with a passion, and he wants you in slavery, and he wants you in bondage, and he wants you living in sin, and he wants you to go to death because of it. And so there's this adversary that we're saved from, and it's a spiritual adversary. And God fights for us, and he gives us the Holy Spirit to come against that. And then the other one is that he redeemed us by the hand of the enemy. The enemy, this is a completely different word. This is why I looked at this. There's two different things here. So we have a spiritual adversary, and then we have Oyav is the word here for enemy. And this is just enemy. It's a human enemy. It's their plans that they have for us, the hurt and the harm that they want to have for us. And what I realized here and what I want you to understand is that when we fight our battles, we always fight on two fronts. There is the spiritual and there is the physical. And God is there and he will fight for you. And God is there and he will equip you with the Spirit's power, but you got to be obedient to it. And then he will also equip you to be able to fight in the physical as well. And he'll give you things like the armor of God. But at the same time, here's what I want you to know, that praise, our praise is a weapon that reminds us of our champion. You understand? When we praise him, it reminds us that he is already victorious. And he always will be. He is victorious over whatever you're going through. He is victorious. And so when we praise him, even though we don't know what's going to happen, even though we don't know where this is leading, even though we're unsure, we praise him because he is our victor and he is our champion. And that is a weapon that we can use against the enemy, and we need to use and remember to use all the time. And so he redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. Water covered their foes. Not one of them remained. And then what did they do? They believed his promises. And they sang his praise. And so God shows up again, because God always shows up. And they praised him because of it. And so that's it. Praise reminds us of who has power over nature. It reminds us of the one who leads us through our wilderness and through our dark times and through paths that seem so impossible to overcome. It reminds us of the one who rescues us and redeems us from our enemies. So they got through this, and then you get to verse 13, and guess what happens? They soon forgot. They soon forgot his works and would not wait on his counsel. So God shows up, and God shows up, and God shows up, and God redeems, and God rescues, and God saves, but they forgot. And I think they forgot because they stopped praising his name. They stopped praising what he's done for them already and believing what he's going to do next. And so when we forget his promises, when we stop praising, and when we stop praising and we forget what he's done, we begin to lean on our own wisdom and our own power and our own strength. And we think to ourselves, we can do it again. And we turn to what is called idols. Idols of self, idols of others, idols of culture, whatever it may be. You see, when we become idle in our praise, we put idols in God's place. And that's not what God wants. What does he say? He says, do not put any other idol before me. And when we stop praising him for the goodness that he's done and what we know he's going to do, that's when we put idols in his place. And so the rest of Psalm 106, as you read through after verse 13, it just goes back and it talks about what happened because they forgot to praise him. What happened when they turned to other idols? What happened when they forgot and weren't reminding themselves? And so this is a reminder to praise him. To praise him and never forget who he is or what he's done. That's it. Praise reminds us of this. Reminds us of who he is. Reminds us of what he's done. And ultimately, it reminds us that he's not done yet. Who is he? He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our Rescuer. He's our Champion. What has he done? He's guided us. He's protected us. He's provided for us. He's rescued us. He's redeemed us. What has he not done yet? What he's done for us will lead us to what he's doing next. And not just for us. Because as God leads us and calls us, he brings us into other people's lives. And he expects us to follow him through that. The highs and the lows of the gospel, they all pointed to Jesus and God's glory. And that should be true of our lives. The highs and lows of our lives should point to Jesus and God's glory. And we should praise him for that. We should praise him because he's not done yet. He has more for Kairos. He has more for you. He has more for your marriage. He has more for your children. He has more for your education. He has more for your job. He has more. He's not done yet. And how do we know that? Because of how he's already shown up for us time and time again. So we praise him. We praise him for what he's done because we fully believe that he is not done yet. I want to share Isaiah 43:21. It simply says this, "The people whom I made for myself will make known my praise." And that's our call. We praise him. We praise him so others can know who he is. We praise him so others can see what he's done. We praise him to bring hope and ultimately to bring salvation to others. You see, our praise can maybe lead to a not yet being saved. Someone grabbing hold of that hope that we once found. We don't ever want to forget that hope. And so maybe, you know, I would encourage you, if you haven't in a while, if you haven't kind of gone back and maybe just written down like what God has done for you, right? Who were you before Christ? Where were you before he showed up in your life? What addiction did he rescue you from? What relationship did he redeem? Like, remember what God did and praise him for it. This is your testimony. This is your witness. The good things, the bad things, you remember all of those things. You remember where God showed up and you see where God showed up. Maybe you forgot where God showed up. Remember and share it and praise him and never stop praising him. We don't ever want to stop praising him because he is good and he's not done yet. Would you guys pray with me? God, we just thank you. I don't think we could ever thank you enough. There is no price on your love, on what your son did for us on the cross, dying a sinner's death when he knew no sin, but he did it for us. And the beauty is that he'll do it again. The sin we've committed, the sin we will commit, he died for it. And he rose again victorious, and he is our champion, and he is our victor. And I don't know what someone's going through today or what season they've been in, and maybe it's been one where they've been brought low. I pray today that you would remind them of who you are. Remind them of what you've already done, and remind them that you're not done yet. Have hope in that. Put your faith in that. Draw strength from that. He's got you. Don't lose hope. God, thank you for the people that you have drawn to this church. The family. Family that we've all gained. For the friendships and for the encouragement and for the support and for the love. We are all better because of it. Because of you, because of your church. Because of a calling. Over 5 years ago, we're better, I'm better, my family's better, our relationships are better, and they can only get better from here as we continue to stay focused on you and praise you through the good times and the bad. I thank you for what you've done, God, and we are praying and excited about what you're going to do next. It's in Jesus' name that I pray, amen.